just days away from the U.S. presidential election, legal battles over mail-in ballots and misinformation about ballot integrity.
There is a lot more activity on the Republican side in this election cycle that has to do with election administration and calling into question what counts as a valid vote, who counts as a valid voter.
We'll focus on one case in a must-win U.S. state for this presidential election.
The Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court held that to not count those ballots violated the Pennsylvania Constitution.
Today is October 31st, and this is The Issue from VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. There's a new front in the strategy to win elections in the United States: the courts.
A lot of time and money is being spent on trying to get ballots thrown out and voters taken off the rolls. Today, we're focused on the U.S. state of Pennsylvania, which is a must-win state in the 2024 presidential election.
Let's start in the state's capital of Harrisburg with WITF Radio's Jordan Wilkie, who reports that with Election Day looming, the number of false and misleading claims are ratcheting up.
You have to be alive on Election Day for your vote to count in Pennsylvania. David Voy, division manager for Allegheny County Elections, says counties update their voter rolls regularly.
Once a voter is marked deceased, the ballot, if returned, cannot be accepted.
As with the dead, non-citizens are not allowed to vote. Daniel Mallinson, a Penn State associate professor who studies elections, says concerns about election administration keep coming up over and over.
All these claims of coordinated voter fraud or non-citizens voting in large numbers, there just isn't evidence of that.
Voter fraud, in general, breaks a lot of laws. For non-citizens, registering and voting each carry steep penalties, including the possibility of deportation, fines, and imprisonment. In Harrisburg, I'm Jordan Wilkie.
And you know, Lori, sometimes the battle is over something that isn't even really part of the voting law. Here's an example. In Pennsylvania, when you get a mail-in ballot, right, the return envelope has a place where you put the date on that you mailed it or filled it in. But the law doesn't actually require you to do that. There's nothing in the law that says the voter has to put the date on the outside of the envelope in this little slot. But even so, in a special election back in September, ballots in Philadelphia were thrown out because the date wasn't filled in.
And this really has become a court battle, with the American Civil Liberties Union and the Public Interest Law Center suing to get those ballots reinstated. And that would allow the ballots like that to be counted in the presidential election next week. The Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court agreed with them and ruled in their favor, but the challenge continues now to an even higher court. Joining us to talk more about this is Mimi McKenzie, legal director of the Public Interest Law Center.
Thanks so much for joining us to talk about this.
Oh, my pleasure.
So Tell us about the court decision yesterday and then what happened today.
Sure. So yesterday, the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court issued a ruling in a case called Baxter versus the Philadelphia Board of Elections. It was a case that rose out of a special election in September here in Philadelphia, where the Board of Elections did not count ballots, mail-in ballots, that had a missing or incorrect date on the back envelope, on the back of the envelope. And the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court held that to not count those ballots violated the Pennsylvania Constitution.
So it was like a little form on the back of the envelope you had to fill out?
Sure. So in Pennsylvania, mail-in balloting was established in 2019. So it's relatively new, and it was implemented in the May 2020 primary. And Under the election code, the election code says that a voter needs to date and sign the outside envelope. And then they need to put their mail-in ballot in a secrecy envelope. And there's been a lot of litigation here in Pennsylvania around these three issues. And what the court has held to date is that under the election code, yes, you do have to date that back envelope. But over the course of all of this litigation, the one thing that hasn't been disputed is that this date on the outside envelope serves no purpose. It's a vestige from a previous iteration of the election code, but under the election code today, it's the date of receipt that matters. So this date just doesn't serve any purpose, right? It's not used to determine whether the ballot was timely submitted. It's not used to determine if the voter is a qualified or registered voter. It's really just a vestige from a previous iteration of the statute. So it has no substantive purpose.
But what would the motivation be for not wanting these votes counted when they don't necessarily know what these votes are?
So we actually filed this lawsuit on behalf of a couple of voters in Philadelphia whose ballots weren't counted in this special election. And the argument that we have been making, and we've made it in earlier cases trying to get the court to grapple with this, is to refuse to count ballots based on this meaningless date requirement is a violation of the Pennsylvania Constitution, specifically the Free and Equal Election Clause, which provides that voting is a fundamental right. And so in a variety of different formats, we have been trying to get this issue decided before the election. And kind of ran into different procedural obstacles here and there. So this is sort of the last vehicle, if you will, for the court to decide whether or not to count these ballots for the November election, or to decide the issue anyway.
So basically what you're saying is if rejecting them in the special election was not constitutional back in September, then you're saying that you want this resolved to be that it also means that it must be unconstitutional in the November election?
Yeah, exactly. That the basis for the court's holding, even though it was in the context of a special election, was it violates the Pennsylvania Constitution to reject these ballots because of this date requirement, which is meaningless. And so the argument is that, well, if it's unconstitutional, like you said, in September, it's certainly unconstitutional in November. So the court, of course, their order relates just to the special election. But now today, the Republican Party, which had intervened in this Baxter case, is now asking the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to essentially stay the decision of the Commonwealth Court and issue an order that would say that, you know, for the November election, you should reject these ballots that have a missing or improper date on the envelope.
And they're doing that to, they think, because there'll be a greater number of Democratic votes with this issue?
Well, that's a really good question for the RNC. But, you know, as I'm sure, you know, listeners are aware, mail-in voting has become a very political, partisan issue. And I think that the data would show that more registered Democrats vote by mail-in ballot than registered Republicans. And so presumably one party has decided that that's a political strategy that makes sense for them. You know, to be clear, to the extent that the Public Interest Law Center, my organization, and our co-counsel at the ACLU Pennsylvania, we're nonpartisan. And in these various lawsuits around the dating requirement, we've represented both voters who are registered Democrats and voters who are registered Republicans, because any voter can get tripped up on this no matter what their party affiliation is.
I assume there are other legal actions going on in Pennsylvania revolving around ballots, yes?
That's correct.
What are some of those?
So the other two lawsuits that our organization, the Public Interest Law Center and the ACLU Pennsylvania, are involved with also relate to this issue of mail-in ballots. So as I was explaining, you know, there are these various reasons why a mail-in ballot can be disqualified. One is if you make a mistake on the date. The other is if you forget to sign the ballot. And the third is if you forget to put your ballot in the special secrecy envelope. Many counties in Pennsylvania, if a voter makes that type of mistake, will actually reach out to the voter by email, sometimes even a phone call, to let the voter know they made a mistake, and they'll let them come into the election office and fix it before the election. Or the voter can always go and vote a provisional ballot at their polling place on election day. And so the other two lawsuits kind of relate to that issue. One of the lawsuits is this case called Genzer versus the Butler County Board of Elections. That case is focused on the issue of if a voter makes a mistake on their mail-in ballot, and so that ballot's not going to count, and then they go to their polling place on election day and they vote a provisional ballot, that provisional ballot should count. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court just a couple of days ago ruled in favor of the voters on that issue. That's now being challenged again. It was the Republican Party that intervened in the case. They have now filed an application with the U.S. Supreme Court to stay that decision, allowing these provisional ballots to be counted. And then the other lawsuit, we're actually still waiting for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to decide it. And this is the issue around what kind of notice, if any, does a board of elections have to give a voter who makes this kind of mistake? In this case is CCJ versus the Washington County Board of Elections. In this case, focuses on the issue of when a voter makes one of those three disqualifying errors that I mentioned, under the procedural due process protections that are in the Pennsylvania Constitution, does a board of elections have to let a voter know that they made that mistake so that the voter could at least try and salvage their vote by going and voting this provisional ballot at their polling place on election day?
I know you're in Pennsylvania, and there are a lot of, we are expecting a lot more of these sorts of lawsuits back and forth to ramp up in the next week, including, you know, we just had a federal judge in Virginia yesterday order the restoration of more than 1,600 voters to its voter rolls after the state removed them, allegedly being non-citizens. And then the U.S. Supreme Court overturned that. So there's a lot of angst and concern that these sorts of things are efforts to basically suppress voters. Given where you are and the importance of the state of Pennsylvania in the presidential election, do you see this being much more efforts being made this election cycle? And have they been accelerating in previous elections Or is this really stand out to you, that it's just really becoming a part of a strategy of sorts?
Yeah. You know, we certainly had a lot of litigation in 2020 as well in Pennsylvania. I would say prior to 2020, no, you didn't see this as much litigation. And you know, there are obviously a variety of reasons for it. I'm sure that's right. To some extent, it's become it's become a political strategy. There also, as I said, mail-in voting in Pennsylvania is relatively new. And really since 2020, there's been quite a bit of litigation around these mail-in ballot requirements, because the election code itself is not a model of clarity in every way. And voters are, all of us are human and you know, can make mistakes on some of that paperwork. And a lot of the mistakes, if you will, have nothing to do with whether it's a valid ballot, whether you're a registered voter, anything like that. So I think for any groups like our clients who, you know, are supporting access to voting, it, you know, we should be trying to enfranchise voters, not disenfranchise them. It's so important for everyone to have every registered qualified voter to have access to the ballot. You know, we are seeing other efforts here in Pennsylvania. Like, there have been a variety of lawsuits being filed around the voter registration rolls. To date, all of those have failed. And then we're also starting to see some issues around challenges to mail ballots on the grounds that voters are no longer qualified to vote in Pennsylvania. So there's starting to be some challenges filed at the county boards of election. There are groups out there that use the National Change of Address database, which is not a good measure of whether or not someone is actually, you know, a resident of Pennsylvania. Like, someone might put in a change of address in that database because they are, you know, with the Postal Service, because they're, you know, temporarily relocating for work or school or something like that. And you have groups now running that NCOA database against the mail-in ballots that are being returned in Pennsylvania, and they're filing challenges saying, oh, well, this person put in a change of address to Delaware, you know, they no longer should be able to vote in Pennsylvania, when the reality is they might just be there temporarily, or, you know, or maybe they have a second home as a vacation home, but their primary residence where they vote is Pennsylvania. So there's issues like that percolating up too. But at the moment, massive litigation on that front. The boards of election are dealing with those at the local level.
And the bottom line is, as you say, I just want to understand, is that so far it appears, for the most part, the courts are ruling on the side of the voter's right to vote.
Certainly that's been our experience to date at this point with the three affirmative cases that we're involved with. Around mail-in ballots, you know, we've probably not heard the final word from the courts. You know, as the case around notice, we're still waiting to hear from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Now this case around provisional ballots is, they're attempting to take that to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we are going to, I guess, hear pretty soon about what the situation is with the ruling around the undated or misdated ballots in the Baxter case, because obviously the court has asked us to respond very quickly, and we would expect to get a decision on some of these issues. So, but certainly the intermediate court, the Commonwealth Court, has clearly and loudly stated that they think it violates the constitutional rights of these voters to not count their ballots when that dating requirement is a meaningless paperwork error.
Hmm. Mimi, thanks so much for the time and the explanation, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Sure. I hope I hope that was clear. It's there's a lot of detail packed in that, but
it's complicated. You
know, it is and it isn't, right? Like at the simplest level, voting is a fundamental right, and it makes sense to interpret these election code provisions in the Constitution in such a way that it enfranchises voters, not disenfranchises them.
That was Mimi McKenzie, legal director of the Public Interest Law Center.
You know, she's right when she said, when I said it, this is complicated, and she says, well, yes and no, because it's, when you get into the court, it becomes complicated. But the actual thing that they're fighting over is this little thing that says, put the date here, even though it's on the envelope, it's not in the law. So she's right. It's this little simple thing that becomes this big, complicated thing.
Right. And obviously, as we've been talking about, the battlegrounds aren't just, you know, in the states and for votes. It's becoming the legal strategy of potentially getting less voters that are not maybe in your favor off the ballot. So I know we're going to be talking a lot more about this in the coming days ahead of next week's election, but it's certainly a new frontier for us, the escalating situation of legal fights instead of just sort of, okay, this person won, and it's definitely not so simple anymore. Yeah. Or at least it seems there are already people talking about one side not accepting the results without a legal fight.
Well, we will continue to focus on these legal battles in the coming days. And like you said, most likely even after the election winner is announced.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thank you so much for listening.
Follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for more news 24/7, our website is voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walter.
And I'm Lori London. We'll see you tomorrow.